Good morning.
Good morning.
Warmest of welcomes to each of you. Good to see you today, and what a joy it is to be here, and so thankful. I want to say a big thank you to our veterans this morning, and thankful for each one of you guys, and thank you for your service to this country. I think that's something sometimes we overlook, but I'm thankful for our veterans and their service, and so we give praise to God for that as well. Everybody doing well? You guys enjoying this cool weather? It's refreshing, isn't it? Kind of spools you up a bit, doesn't it? Does me, at least. I know for others, maybe not so much, but I'm enjoying it. Thankful for it. Well, friends, if you have your Bibles, let's take them out this morning to 1 Thessalonians chapter 5. 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, we're going to look at verse number 16. And just by way of introduction, Paul is writing to the church at Thessalonica, and he's writing to believers there, and we find in verses 1 through 15, he's talking about the suddenness of Christ's return. And so he really readies their mind about that, and then he tells us in verse 16, and let's notice it together, we'll pick it up here. He says in verse number 16, 1 Thessalonians, he gives us really the content here. He says, "Rejoice evermore. Pray without ceasing, in everything give thanks, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus concerning you. Quench not the spirit, despise not prophesying. Prove all things, hold fast to that which is good, abstain from all appearance of evil." And so friends, this morning we're going to zero in on verse number 18, "In everything give thanks, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus concerning you." And so I've titled the message this morning, "Some Thoughts About Why We Should Be Thankful." And I think the Bible really lays out for us some clear communication on why you and I should be thankful. And so we want to just get some perspective this morning on thankfulness. And just from the outset, friends, thankfulness is the will of God. And so when we are Christians and we have a thankful spirit, that's one aspect of doing the will of God, being a thankful people. And so with that in mind, let's go ahead and bow in a word of prayer, then we'll get started this morning. Father God, once again, we thank you for this day of life that you have given to us. And Father, we thank you, God, that you have purpose and plan in everything that you do. And Father, there's nothing that comes from your word that's not without purpose, it's not without direction, it's not without plan. And Father, we thank you this morning that you are directing us through your word. And Lord, that all begins when we experience that relationship that takes place when we understand our lostness and our sin, and we turn to the Lord Jesus Christ and we confess that sin. And Father, we turn from that sin and we turn to him. And God, when we do that and we believe on him as our Lord and Savior, you have promised that you would save us. And Father, we thank you for that salvation that we have today that comes by faith in Christ alone. And God, we pray this morning, if there would be any in the sound of this voice this morning, that they would understand the significance and the importance of being born again. And Father, that's the premise. That's where it all begins. And then God, through that, you begin this process in our lives of growing us, of sanctifying us. And Father, one of the things that you want us to be as your people this morning is a thankful people, not a complaining people, not a grumbling people, not a people who resist your goodness, but those who embrace it. And Father, as we embrace that goodness, Lord, our hearts are elated and we're so thankful, God, to be your people this morning. And Lord, as I think about that, I think about the request this morning, and Father, I'm thankful for each one, and God, this morning we pray for each one. And Father, there were many requests made, and I just think of some this morning in particular, and I think of Tom Rodriguez and Oreo. And Father, I just thank you for Oreo and Sadie and their life in Christ. And Father, we pray that you would encourage Oreo to truly encourage his brother, Father, through the truth of your word, as he has opportunity to dialogue and interact with him, Lord, in these days. And Father, we think of his travel, and we thank you, God, for Oreo, and we pray for safety, and pray, Lord, that you would look after him. I think of Brother Greg this morning, morning, and Brother Craig this morning. And Father, we thank you for the work you're doing in his life, and thank you for Alma. And Father, we pray that you would continue to strengthen, and Lord, you would continue to heal and raise this brother up, Father. Give him strength, Lord, that he would bring glory and honor to you. And we pray for Alma as well, Lord. We pray that you would strengthen both of them. And we thank you for him this morning. Father, I think of Brother Joe Leone and his opportunity with Gene Shelders, his relative. And Father, we pray that you would give wisdom to Joe and discernment, and Father, that there would be clarity of thought as he would interact with this man. And Lord, we just pray that you would give him your words of wisdom. And Father, if they fall on a deaf ear, Lord, that you would make that clear, and that Joe would understand that you cannot convert. None of us can convert somebody. We can only give him the truth. And Father, it takes you to bring about salvation. And so may he sow and may he water. But God, we're trusting you for the increase in this man's life. And so, Father, we commit this situation to you as well this morning. Lord, I think of others today. I think of Mike Allred and the cancer, Lord, and we pray for him. Pray, God, that you would just continue to work on his behalf, that he would be encouraged by your truth, Lord, and Father, that he'd be strengthened in these difficult days. And Father, we pray for Lauren today, and thank you for this young lady. We pray, Father God, that you would be with her throughout this pregnancy, and pray for the birth of this young child. And Lord, it's not too early to begin to pray for the salvation of this child. And so, Father, we would do that even today. We would pray, God, at a young age, this child would come to know Christ. And Father, I think of Tristan and who's going to be going through surgery. Father, we pray your hand upon the surgeons, your direction in it. And we pray for his pain, and God, that you would, by your mercy and grace, that you would just give him that grace that's needed during this difficult time. Father, this morning we want to thank you once again for each precious life. We know there are many other concerns and needs, and we continue to lift up each one. Think of Brother Terry and others. Father, we thank you for them and just pray your continued grace in each of their lives. Father, we pray for the unmentions this morning, and Lord, we just ask now that you would direct this service. And Father God, as you do that, we're going to give you all the glory and all the praise and all the thanksgiving. God, may I be out of the way now. Speak through me. Use me for thy glory, I pray. In Jesus' precious name, amen. Well, beloved, I want to begin this morning by saying that thanksgiving really begins with how we view life. Everything that we are and will be has to do with the way we think. And there's an interesting proverb, and I want to begin this morning, as like I said, I'm going to be sharing some thoughts on Thanksgiving, but I want to look at Proverbs chapter 23 and verse 7, and I'd like for us to read it together this morning. So if you turn there, Proverbs chapter 23 and verse number 7. And this particular verse is talking about man, and it really lays out for us, I believe, a very very clear biblical truth that is an absolute reality in the midst of every human being. And it says this, talking about man, "For as he thinketh in his heart, so is he." And beloved, the reality today is that the way a man thinks in his heart really has to do with everything as to who he is. And so the way we think truly affects our whole being. And friends, if we're not thinking right, it has an effect on our anatomy, and it has an effect not only on our anatomy, but it has an effect on those around us. And so really our thinking becomes the key issue of who we are and what we will be. And if we don't think right, there's a major problem, because when we don't think right, there's no way we can live right. And it all works together. So thinking, the way we think is paramount. But let's notice the rest of the verse. It says, "For as he thinketh in his heart, so is he. Eat and drink, saith he to thee, but his heart is not with thee." Friends, I just want to say that apart from Bible truth, man can only think ungodly thoughts. Did you hear what I just said? Apart from Bible truth, man can only think ungodly thoughts. And man by nature has what we call a greedy heart. That's the nature of man. He has a greedy heart. And we find here that this man in Proverbs 23:7 actually had a very greedy heart. And it says, "Eat and drink, saith he to thee, but his heart is not with thee." So here's the picture. This man offers you food to eat, and when you begin to eat it, he begrudges it because he wants it for himself. He wants it for himself. Now, he's offering to you, he's giving to you, but he really doesn't want to let go of it. Friends, that's the nature of man's heart. Man's heart is full of greed, it's full of selfishness, and it says, "I want this for me." And that's tragic and that's sad, but that's the truth. Man is selfish and man is consumed with himself. Beloved, how we think is connected to how we view the world. And we need to get this. This is so important. Our thinking really affects the outlook of each one of us on the things around us. And if we don't have a right understanding and a right view, friends, we have a distorted view of the world. And tragically, the reality is many have a distorted view of the world. You see, people who are atheistic materialists, and I want to say something this morning, and you can argue with me if you want, and we'll do that after the service. But I believe there's only two views in life. There's a view that comes from the God of heaven, the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. And there's another view that comes from Lucifer. There's two views. And so I believe that anybody that does not have a heavenly view has an atheistic, materialistic view. And what they're looking at is they're looking at life through the lens, these atheistic, materialistic people, they're looking at through the lens of everything that exists is temporal, but they're going to try to get and gain all the temporal they can because they believe that's really what's going to satisfy their life. And friends, it's only going to slip away. And so there's an atheistic, materialistic worldview, and these people who are atheistic, materialistic people, they literally deny the existence of a supernatural being. They deny his existence. They do not believe there is a supernatural being. And of course, you know, you listen to some of the lead scientists and some of the people of our day who are purely, you know, they just purely believe in that which is physical. These people carry a certain tone and a certain characteristic about them. Their view on life ultimately is what I call self-defeating. They have no hope, and everything is based on human reasoning. What I can reason out, what I can come up with. And friends, if we're honest this morning and we look at our world around us and people who gravitate towards that mindset, friends, they're fatalist. They're fatalist. And we have a globe today that's being ignited by people that are fatalist. And there's an outcome for all of it, and that is that ultimately it will come to this place of destruction. That's the nature of man. That comes from human reasoning. When you give to man nuclear capability and man doesn't have moral responsibility, friends, that's dangerous. That's extremely dangerous. And that's where we're living today. We're living in a world that is out of control in so many ways. And as we look at sinful man and we look to man for the answers, man always comes up short. Always comes up short. And yet, if man would just turn and look to God, what a change that makes. I remember, it's been a couple years ago now, and I'm going to bring up Brother Tom because we've spent quite a bit of time together fishing and doing other things. But he said to me, he said, "Brother Rick, if people would just learn to forgive, our world would be a completely different place." And friends, that's so true. But you can take any attribute that comes from the Bible, and if men would incorporate and take into consideration that truth and appropriate that truth, what changes it would make upon the culture. Yeah. And yet that's not where man is at. So friends, atheistic, materialistic, or materialism produces people that are cynical, they're disparaging, and they're pessimistic people. And that's what we find. It produces people who are limited to human reasoning. So from the outset, as we said, if human reasoning is driven by selfishness, what's the outcome? Well, it's quite obvious. So as a man thinketh in his heart, what? So is he. On the other hand, friends, there are those who have a biblical worldview. And a biblical worldview says there is an all-wise God who will give real wisdom for life. I think we believe that, don't we? You know, I love that verse in 1 Chronicles 29, verse 11. Thine, O Lord, is the greatness and the power and the glory and the victory and the majesty. Thine, O Lord, for all that is in heaven and in earth is thine. Listen to this. Thine is the kingdom, O Lord. And he goes on to say, and thou art exalted as head above all. Friends, we serve an all-wise God who has the answers for life. He has every answer that you and I need, and they're clearly delineated in what we call the Bible. And friends, as we build our lives on the Bible, God gives us substance for living. Substance that's real, that's meaningful, that's directive, that gives encouragement, that builds people up, that directs us in a right path. All coming from the Word of God. Now, as I share this morning, please understand this morning, I'm not talking about a religious worldview. I'm talking about a biblical worldview. And friends, a man can be religious and still be an atheistic materialist because he does not believe the God of the Bible. And friends, in order to have a right understanding from the God of the Bible, it begins when a man is born again. You cannot understand the Bible and know the Bible apart from salvation. We must be born again. That's why Jesus told Nicodemus, a religious leader, a religious man, a director in the land of Israel, come to Jesus by night. He was a wise man according to the world standard, but he was a lost man. And Jesus told him, you must be born again. Why is that? Friends, when we're born again, God illuminates and he enlightens our understanding. He begins to give to you and I a truth that's origin is straight from the Word of God. How does he do that? He does it by the Spirit of God. 1 Corinthians 2:14, the natural man receiveth not the things of the Spirit of God, for they are foolishness unto him, neither can he know them because they are spiritually discerned. Friends, we have to be born again. And that's what the Bible tells us. We must be born again. Beloved, we can only see God correctly through salvation. This morning, how do you see God? How do you see God? Do you see God as biased and unkind? Or do you see God as good and gracious and full of mercy? Brother Dave, in his little testimony this morning, which was great, was talking about the mercies of God and God's bestowment of his mercies. How do we see God? How do you view God today? You see, a right theology, a right theological understanding affects our thankfulness. Friends, if I see God correctly and I understand God correctly, I'm going to have a thankful spirit. I'm going to be full of thanksgiving. Do we see God as a God full of justice, executing judgment on evil? Or do you see God as one who is unjust, who has no power over evil? I want to say something, friends, this morning, and I want us to think this through. And there's a lot of views, and there's a lot of things that will be said, and a lot of different rhetoric and ideas, and I get all that. But, beloved, it was brought up this morning. We sang a song about prayer. And the verse was shared that if we regard iniquity in our heart, that God will not hear us. But I want us to think about something. You know, we just had an election. And I believe that believers across this nation were praying that the laws of this land would be upheld. And friends, God gave, I believe in a supernatural way, a sweeping decision on a man by the name of Donald Trump. And beloved, the Bible tells me, and I want to read the verse to you. You guys all know it, but it's in Proverbs 21, and it's verse 1. And the proverb says this, that the heart of the king is in the hand of the Lord. And God turns it whichsoever way he will, just as he turns the water in a river. And I want us to understand this morning that that election was not by happenstance, but God had purpose and plan in that. And every believer on this planet ought to be thanking God for the election of President Donald Trump. I believe that. And friends, our supernatural God, what's happened is evil was becoming predominant in our culture. And through prayer, I believe God was getting the attention of people who were sitting on their heels. God stirred them up and said, do you really want to go this way? And I tell you, I didn't want to go that way. And I don't believe that any believer wanted to go that way. Friends, evil was affecting the whole culture. There was a depression that was coming upon this nation that I've never seen before. And beloved, I believe God answered prayer. And beloved, we ought to all this morning have a thankful heart that God has given us a man who will uphold the laws of the land. And we need that, beloved. You see, our supernatural God does answer prayer. And this man, once again, upholds the Constitution. He's given you and I this freedom of speech. And beloved, that's important in these days. Freedom to speak Bible truth, freedom to evangelize, freedom to worship, freedom to have these constitutional rights that we can live each and every day of our lives. That ought to generate thankfulness. Friends, we ought to be thankful that God has given us this time, this hour in history in which we can thank Him. Beloved, the Bible tells us the whole purpose behind government, and most people don't get this, but God created government. That's not a man-made thing. If you read Romans chapter 13, verses 1 through 7, the Scripture clearly delineates this was God's design. And friends, God set government in place to execute His righteousness. And that's the purpose behind government. Thank God that He's given us somebody who will execute the righteousness of God in this unrighteous age. Beloved, we need to thank God that He's given us what He's given us today. And beloved, we must not become complacent in this hour. We must speak on behalf of Almighty God. And friends, if we're thankful for the goodness of God, and I've tried to make it a point with everybody that I'm coming in contact with, bringing up the fact that God is in control and that we need to be thankful in this hour, and we need to be looking for those opportunities because God has given us this grace. Pray for kings and governors that are in authority, all that are in authority, that we might live a quiet and peaceable life in all godliness and dignity. God's given us this hour. And beloved, as thankful people, we need to get ignited, we need to get energized, we need to get spooled up, and we need to make Jesus known. Friends, thankfulness generates worship. It generates a heart of gratitude. It generates this thanksgiving that says, I'm not going to keep it with myself. I want everybody to know. And friends, we need to make Him known in this hour. You know, it brings me back to what Moses said, and I love the verse, and it's just such a powerful verse, but Moses is bringing glory to God, and in Deuteronomy 32, verse 4, he says, speaking about God, He is the rock. His work is perfect. Listen to this. All His ways are judgment. God knows what He's doing, and friends, those who have committed evil and evil acts in this nation, I promise you, there will be a dealing with those people. It's taking place already. They're not going to get away with their evil. You know, during the early days when the old administration had its power and its work, it caused disheartenedness. It caused a loss of energy, a loss of enthusiasm, because we started seeing everything going the wrong way. And friends, I give the glory to God. It's not political. This is theological. God is in control, and He governs and He rules. And friends, we need to be thankful for that. And now that He's given us this opportunity, this hour, don't let it go by. Use it for His glory. Bring Him honor with your life. But Deuteronomy 32, verse 4, He, referring to God, is the rock. His work is perfect. All His ways are judgment. Listen to this. A God of truth and without iniquity. Friends, that's the God we serve. He's a God of truth, and there is no iniquity with Him. Everything is righteous and holy. He is a holy, righteous God, the Bible tells us. And friends, we need to be rejoicing in His holiness today. Moses was not moved when he said that. He wasn't moved by his feelings. This is not an emotional thing. It's not about our feelings or how we feel. It's about the truth of God. And friends, the truth should move us to give thanks to Almighty God, not how we feel. You know, there's a lot of men that can spool up your feelings. I'm not here to do that today. I'm here to tell you about the truth of the God of heaven who changes the affairs of men. He's in control. Friends, David said in Psalm 30, verse 4, and listen to this carefully. He says, sing unto the Lord. He says, sing unto the Lord, O ye saints of His, and give thanks at the remembrance of His holiness. And friends, David wasn't moved by how he felt. It had nothing to do with his feelings. He was moved with a right theology, and he was moved to give thanks to God based on Bible truth. That's why we give God thanks. We have to live outside of how we feel, and so often our lives are dictated by how we feel about things. Friends, we must live our lives based on what truth says. It doesn't matter how we feel. What does God say, and do I really believe what He says? Friends, when we believe what He says, we'll become a thankful people. God will generate thanks. The first century church was filled with gladness. They were filled with gladness. They understood the holiness of God. Why were they filled with gladness? Because they had a biblical world view. That's why they were filled with gladness. And I dare say this morning that every one of us in this room who have a biblical worldview are filled with gladness. And friends, gladness and thankfulness go hand in hand. You have a person that is glad, he's going to be thankful. Amen, brother. That's exactly right. Turn with me, if you would, to Acts chapter 2 and notice verse 46. Acts 2 and verse number 46. Acts chapter 2 and verse 46 this morning. And friends, in this particular text, just by way of introduction, we find the early church, the born-again believers, those who know the Lord Jesus Christ, they're meeting together. And I want us to notice some things in this particular text that I believe is paramount. He says in verse 46, and they, and the pronoun they there is referring to the church, and they continuing daily with one accord. And I might just, I'll give a definition again of the church. But friends, the church is made up of those who have been redeemed, those who have the Spirit of God living in them, and they come together as a group. That's called the church. And so we need to understand that. It's not a building. And a lot of people get confused on that. The church has to do with born-again people coming together. And they, the church, continuing daily with one accord. Notice the unanimity here. Notice what's happening. The unanimity is that they're one accord. There's one accord with them. They're in agreement in the temple and breaking bread from house to house. Now watch this. Did eat their meat with gladness and singleness of heart. Let me say that one more time. Did eat their meat with gladness and singleness of heart. In other words, there was complete unanimity in the early church. They were all in agreement. They were all saying amen to the truths of Scripture. And friends, we're going to sit down today and we're going to eat together. And we ought to ask ourselves, do we have a singleness of heart? That's important. Verse 47, watch this. Praising God. Do unthankful people praise God? I don't think so. Praising God and having favor with all the people. And the Lord added to the church daily such as should be saved. Dear friends, a right understanding of God always produces a glad heart. If I understand God from a true biblical perspective, I'm going to have a glad heart. I'm going to be confident in everything that goes on in my life because there's nothing that can happen in my life that's not outside the control of Almighty God. Every believer has that promise. Every believer has that promise. Friends, there's nothing that can happen to me or you outside the sovereign hand of God. And if you've got little voices in your head saying, well, that's not true, get rid of them because it's absolute truth. God is in control. And we have to gravitate towards that. We have to get that into our thinking because that produces thankfulness. I can trust an eternal God who has my best in mind. He says He works all things together for my good, for your good. He works all things together for the good to them that love Him, to them that are called according to His purpose. There's nothing going on in my life or your life that's outside the sovereign knowledge and control of God. The situation that we deal with is whether or not we're going to honor Him or we're going to look somewhere else. When we look somewhere else, then the devil comes along and says, look what God's doing to you. You're not looking at God. You're looking elsewhere. And friends, you're always going to come up short when you look somewhere else. And then the adversary is good at trying to put that right back into the place of God and say, look how God's treating you. Friends, Bible truth is what we stand on, not what we feel and not what little voices say in our heads. You know, it concerns me because there's people in the church who in their mind, they hear this little voice that says, you're saved. Well, friends, that little voice may not be coming from God. There's nothing more that the devil loves to do than to deceive people. Friends, we know we're saved when we believe what God says, not what some little voice tells us in our mind. And when God saves us, He gives us evidences that He saved us. And friends, we can just stand on it. We can walk with it. We're not listening to voices. We're listening to the Bible. We listen to the truth of the Word of God. And so we need to get a hold of that. So once again, dear friends, a right understanding of God produces a glad heart, which results in thankfulness. The phrase with one accord in verse 46, are we there? Are we in Acts? Yeah. Notice the verse again. Daily such as should be saved, latter part. Then he says in verse 46, he tells us with one accord. And that word, that phrase right there, with one accord, is actually one word in the Greek. And it's homo thumadon, and it has the idea of one mind. And you know what's amazing to me is how God, through His Word, gives believers one mind. Well, what is that mind? Well, it's the mind of Christ. He gives us the mind of Christ. And so why do I have unity with Brother Mark? Because we have one mind. Why do I have unity with Brother Dan or Brother Greg or whoever? Because God gives us the same mind. And that mind comes from Christ. And so He gives us that oneness, one accord, having the same mind, the same understanding. That's what the Spirit of God does. He creates what we call unanimity within the church. It's not compromise. It's not saying, oh, well, I'll overlook what you believe, even though it's wrong. No, we build our lives on the truth. And we all agree with the truth. Ephesians 4 tells us there's one Lord, one baptism, one faith, one God above all, who is in all and through all. God is one. Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, totally unified. And friends, there's unity when we believe the truth. And it's the mind of Christ that creates that singleness of heart, which results in thanksgiving. Our Lord Jesus said this. I love this verse. By this shall all men know ye are my disciples, if you have love one for another. My Bible tells me in Amos that if you do not, it says two cannot walk together unless what? They be agreed. So when God saves us, He puts His love in us. What does He do? He unifies us. Friends, that's all by the Spirit of God. God does that. Jesus said, but this shall all men know that you are my disciples if you love one another. John 13, verse 35. So what produces unanimity in the church? It's a love for the truth. And friends, as we love the truth of the Word of God, we know we have passed from death unto life. How? Because we love the brethren. What causes a love for the brethren? The truth of God's Word. It all drives itself together. And friends, it's God's truth that does that. And so biblical truth creates thanksgiving. And it creates thankfulness for one another. This morning, when you come in, are you thankful for the brethren and sisters in this church? I rejoice in saved people. It just excites me to have brothers and sisters in Christ. Friends, could you imagine living the Christian life in alienation, being alienated from others? It would be the encouragement of the brethren. I mean, God designed the church. It's interesting to me, when Jesus sent out the disciples, He sent them out in sets of what? Two. Why would He do that? Mutual encouragement. And beloved, we need that today. We need the encouragement of the brethren. And so biblical truth generates thankfulness. The word temple in Acts chapter 2, verse 46 means sanctuary. And as I said, I would get to this again. But the idea of a sanctuary is really the idea of the church. And the Greek word for church is ekklesia, and it simply means a called out assembly. And so when God saves believers, they want to congregate. Why do they want to congregate? Because they want to focus on the truth together. And he gives us this heart, this united heart. And in so doing, there's worship that happens. The results or the outcome of that worship is always thankfulness. God, thank you. I'll leave church today, and my wife will say, thank God for Calvary Baptist Church. We're thankful. We're thankful. God does that. You see, friends, the early church came together for worship, and they were united in purpose based on Bible truth. And it resulted in that passage, verse 46, with them eating together with gladness and singleness of heart. Listen to this. Praising God and having favor with all the people. You know, one of the things that my wife and I was talking about this week is God, in His design, doesn't create cliques. We're all together. We're all brothers and sisters in Christ. We're all co-equal. A man who stands in a pulpit and preaches is not above the people. He's on the same playing field. He has a different gift, but he's on the same playing field. None of us rise above each other. And to even have that mindset is demonic, because God makes it clear we're a body. We're a body. We're fit and formed together by God's plan, not man's plan. It was God's plan, not man's plan, that I am who I am, and in the same way with you. And we ought to thank God for where He has us within the framework of the body of Christ. We all have a significant part, a significant role to play. And, you know, I always hate that when I get my tongue caught around my eye teeth and I can't see what I'm saying. You guys ever experience that? It gets you every time. But friends, the early church praised God with correct theology, even in their songs. And they honored God according to Bible truth. And many today have left God's truth and they have moved to what we call emotions or feelings. And the church today in America is filled with people who live by their feelings rather than by Bible truth. And so they want to sing songs today that make them feel good. Friends, we want to sing songs that are theologically correct. We want to sing those songs that give us a right understanding and a right view of God. Why is that? Because we want the truth to prevail in every aspect of our lives. And feelings are fickle. They're momentary. Feelings change like the weather. You know, you take people that live by their feelings, they're very unstable and very inconsistent. But on the other hand, a man who has strong biblical theology, his life becomes very stable, very consistent. He's not moved by his feelings. He's moved by right thinking. He has a biblical world view. And everything has to be driven by that biblical worldview, which comes from a right theology. I believe theologically what God says according to His Word. And you know, God made it simple for us. He put His Word in a grammatical, historical, literal way that we can just read it and understand it and live it. He has not made it complicated. We don't spiritualize it. We don't allegorize it. We simply believe what the black and white says. And then we live what the black and white says. David said, once again in Psalm 30 and verse 4, "Sing unto the Lord, O ye saints, and give thanks at the remembrance of His holiness." And beloved, once again, you know, when we understand the holiness of God, that does a lot for us. And you say, well, why is that, Brother Rick? Well, in God's holiness, we know according to Hebrews chapter 6, that God cannot lie by two immutable facts. One is that God cannot lie. So everything I read is based on Bible truth. And I can take that truth and it's never going to change. From now till eternity, beyond eternity, beyond eternity. I mean, forever and ever and ever. Can I say it that way? Thy word is settled and it's forever settled. And so every truth that God gives me today is good for all of eternity. Friends, I can have comfort and calm in a perplexing day, and thank God for the changes that are going on in America. But listen, the Bible doesn't change. It will wax worse and worse. We have a reprieve. Friends, we need to get that. And we need to thank God for it, and we need to enjoy what God's given us, without a doubt. But the world is going to continue. The sovereign ship has left port A, and it's going to port B. And friends, God's ship is going to take, it's going to stay its course. It's going to accomplish that which God purposes. God's given us a reprieve. Don't let that hour go away. Use the hour for His glory. I need to bring things to a close, and I got to do this quick. And so I'm just going to try to wrap this up. Friends, thankfulness is characteristic of those who have been born again. If you're lacking thankfulness this morning, maybe you've never been born again. And if you haven't, God made it real simple. Confess that you're a sinner. Ask God to forgive you of your sins. And ask Jesus to come in and take over your life. God's promise is He will save you eternally. That's His promise. Whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. That's what Romans 10:13 tells us. And so we can be saved. Now, after we're saved, we become obedient to His directives. And this morning, we've got about 8 minutes to do this. Brother Hoot is going to be obedient to God's directive, one of His directives, and that is he's going to follow the Lord in believer's baptism. Brother Hoot, if you'd come forward at this time. And brother, amen. And Brother Dave, if you would give me a hand with the curtain, we'll get this thing underway. Friends, hold tight. We'll close in prayer as soon as we're done.